Veronica.
Hello.
Veronica. We'll call the meeting to order. Roll call, please, Pat.
Carlisle.
Here.
Kubish.
Here.
McClory. Reynolds.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Okay, I received an email from John saying that he was, I think you all did in a sense.
Yes.
That he was on the road again.
On the road again?
And that would we excuse him, and I will make that motion.
Second.
Okay, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Next item of business is approval of minutes in the October 1st meeting. Any additions, corrections?
I have a correction. On page 2 of this packet, it says adjournment, a motion to adjourn, and it says that I seconded it, and I was not there.
Yep, nope, it was Reynolds. As soon as you brought that to my attention, I looked back on it, and I didn't fix it on the draft, so.
Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you sent an email on that, right?
So, any other corrections? Approve the minutes of the October 1st meeting. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I actually need a motion and a second.
Motion. Second motion that we approve. Approve the minutes. Second.
Okay. Sorry. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? No citizens present. Any correspondence, Pat? And Pat?
No.
No.
Okay. Under new business is the variance request for 419 Lincoln Street. That I guess I won't say. Well,
I can give a bit of background. And,
yeah, I guess that would be
how we got to where we are. The original application was submitted in August of 2019, August 6th, subsequently reviewed by the board at the September 3rd meeting, which the minutes and packet is attached. The board at that point moved to postpone the variance application until the October meeting, pending additional information from the applicant. At the October 1st meeting, again, minutes attached and portion of the packet, no additional information was provided by the applicant to the ZBA, and the board again moved to postpone the variance application to no later than December 3rd today in order for the applicant to provide the requested information. Have corresponded with the applicant on multiple occasions since the initial application was submitted, in addition to the subsequent meetings in September, October, and November. No additional information has been submitted by the applicant, and therefore the variance request remains unchanged. As far as background on the request itself, the subject parcel is located at 419 East Lincoln Street, owned by David and Marcy Hill, and located in the traditional residential district. It's approximately 11,400 square feet in size, bounded by East Lincoln Street to the south, and then adjacent properties to the north, south, east, and west are all zoned traditional residential district and are privately owned. I did attach a plat map showing the alley immediately west of the property, which was vacated in 2017, and did confirm that with the committee. As far as some discussion, the traditional residential district requires a minimum 5-foot setback from the side lot line. The application shows a request for a 2-inch side yard setback or 4 feet, 10 inches of relief from the required minimum 5-foot setback. The application shows the proposed location of the carport and approximate location of the drain field in the rear yard. Also includes an example of the type of carport that those we're proposing to construct. As far as topography on the property, it's gradually sloping from south to north, then much steeper on the far north portion, as indicated on the attached area map. And in addition, the applicants also own the adjacent property to the west. west, across the vacated alley we referenced at 409 East Lincoln Street. Just to summarize, the applicant is proposing a new accessory structure on the lot in the TRD district and requesting a 2-inch side yard setback or 4 feet to 10 inches from the required minimum 5-foot setback. Any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer those. As far as enclosed exhibits, we do have the original application, an area map of the subject property, our typical findings of fact. There's one letter of support from Haggard's Plumbing and Heating. And then I also enclosed the September 3rd and October 1st minutes and portions of the agenda packet related to the request.
You requested a survey or maybe something else?
Well, the initial request from the board was for additional information, and that could be in the form of a survey, amended application, or some sort of identification of those property lines, I think was the general consensus. The official or the original motion was to obtain a survey or consider a lot reconfiguration or completely withdraw the application in September. And then in October, again, that was postponed until at the latest today's meeting.
I'm inclined to think it ought to be permanently withdrawn. If she wants to come back, she might want to waive that secondary fee, but she's not giving us anything that can go in the official recounting of the meeting. Do you disagree? Am I out of bounds there?
Well, I think
that she's had more than ample time.
And I think that would be at the discretion of the board how you'd like to proceed. I mean, at this point, we do not have any additional information to add to the request. Essentially, what we're looking at is the request remains the same as it was originally.
She has paid her fee, I would assume.
That's correct, yes.
Is there any precedent for either returning that or not returning it in a case like this? I would think not.
No, I don't believe there's any precedent for returning it. No.
I know these maps in the county are not always accurate. But according to what it shows on here, it shows that they're utilizing the whole vacated alley.
And to keep in mind, you are correct, the parcel maps from the county do have a margin of error of up to 30 feet. So those really, they can't be used as an official survey,
right,
or boundary line. That's really just shown for reference.
Okay. Because what we had asked her is to see if, because this shows like, here's the five inches according to this, but this may not be true, because I know these are off. We had asked her if she could take some of the needed 4 foot, so many inches out of the lot next door, which she owns, to make it so she didn't need a variance.
Which may be possible, but again, that would require a lot reconfiguration,
mm-hmm,
and that application has not been submitted either.
Yeah.
And that lot reconfiguration would also require a survey and new parcel descriptions.
Right. I agree with down there that we should just...
I think to be consistent with the last time we took action, it was to extend her as far as September 3rd, which was a 2-month extension.
Yeah.
And now there's nothing on the table. I move or submit that we consider it withdrawn.
I think the withdrawal would need to come from the applicant, mm-hmm, specific. At this point, my recommendation would be for the board to act on the actual request and make an official decision.
I was going to say we've got to go through the findings of fact and the whole 9 yards, right?
Because you asked her to bring you back additional information, so there's nothing to go through the findings of fact on.
So all we have to do is have a motion to deny the request?
I would recommend denying the request based on
information that admitted in the
information submitted, and I would recommend, if that's the route that the board would like to go, to still run through the requirements for the non-use variance, and determine whether or not the request before you meets those requirements.
Wouldn't we have covered that three months ago?
I don't know that we went through that in detail.
No, I don't think we did.
I think our feeling at that time was that nobody was very comfortable with where they were at, if you will. And, I don't know, for lack of better words, you kind of like ask her to put up or shut up.
We ended up to her when we did the survey.
Right.
And we proceed.
But I think, again, just running back to the request that's before you for the 4 feet 10 inches of relief, it is really what we're discussing at this point, and whether or not the information before you and discussion, how the board feels.
Isn't the answer to that implicit in the fact that we couldn't take action 3 months ago? We must have.
I think just given the fact that there was no official decision made outside of the request for additional information, there would need to be some sort of basis for an approval or denial.
Could the basis be the fact that no, the information we requested has not been submitted?
I think that could be part of it. I think also just running through those same five requirements, and whether or not those are met, it is really to continue that same precedent that we would use for any request, I think is the appropriate situation here.
Well, my biggest complaint when she came in September is that she didn't have the right legal description, and we had no proof that the alley was vacated. And based on that, I didn't think it was right, in my opinion, to approve something with the wrong legal description right to start. Now, you have verified since that time with the county that it's the county's issue that they have not recorded the amendment or whatever the correct terminology is to add that to her property. And so that's why it's not corrected in the county records.
And the county has been provided all the information that they would need from the city for that alley vacation, and were at the time that it was vacated. It sounded like there was some confusion between register of deeds and equalization, but I believe that that's been cleared up. I think at this point, my recommendation would be to just run through the normal process and have the board make a decision that way.
If I kind of agree with that, that we need to, in a sense, make a motion to deny the variance based on the findings of fact. And I think 7 pages into the thing, on the back of the page, is the findings of fact. I found it right. Back of the sheet.
we made those decisions in the prior meeting 3 months ago, Pat?
No.
No, nothing.
We just...
So we're starting over.
We just tabled it at that time, yes. Okay. Then we'll go to the findings of fact under section 24.80. In a hearing and deciding on variances, the board shall adhere to the following criteria in determining whether or not practical difficulties or unnecessary hardships exist. Requiring the owner to comply with regulations governing area, setback, frontage, height, bulk, density, or other non-use requirements would reasonably prevent the owner from using the property for a permitted use, or would render conformity with such regulations unnecessarily burdensome. And it, as we've gone into before, a negative answer to any one of these five questions is reason to reject the request. And I would suggest that the property owners not providing us with the survey to show the setbacks, accurately is reason to deny the request. Any comments, questions?
I agree.
Pat, could you make a motion out of what I just said? And I'll so move.
Let's see. So you're not going to run through 2 through 5?
No.
Okay.
Because, like I said, no answer to any
right.
One.
Right. Exactly. Right. I have down here on my notes that the owner did not provide the requested additional material, so the application to be denied.
Yes.
I would add, just based on the findings of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If that's acceptable to the board.
Yes. Is there a second?
A second. Now, Pat, the original write-up mentioned the word withdrawal. And if we vote to, we're talking about voting to deny, mm-hmm. are we not? Is that inconsistent? Difference is who took the action. I guess since it's this far, this board took the action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then the motion is to deny.
Correct.
Not to have the owner withdraw.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. If we vote to deny, does that prohibit them from coming back and asking again, with new facts, findings?
For the identical request, yes, for a certain amount of time, I believe no less than a year. But if the request is amended a different request.
So if they gave us the survey or met the criteria listed here, then we could?
Well, what I'm getting at is you're denying the request based on the additional information not being provided, but also denying the request of the 2-inch side yard setback. So if that request was amended, or they wanted it to anything different, or they wanted to bring back additional information at a later date, that's a possibility.
Okay, because I want them to have, personally, I feel that what they're proposing is a nice looking structure. It would fit in well. They do, they are limited by the topography of the lot, but once she didn't have the right legal description, we had no proof of that. We asked for a survey now, and that hasn't been provided. I feel we have to make a decision based on not providing, just like I believe Bob said. But I just don't want to prohibit them from being able to request it again, should they get their survey and, you know, move forward in a positive manner?
They could submit another application.
Okay.
For a variance request.
Okay.
So then the motion, as I guess it is being made, would be denied based on the board's inability to take positive action based on the items not being fulfilled by the applicant now over a three-month period. That lets you come back, Monica, and say, okay, let me fill in the blanks here and see if I can satisfy the board's need.
Okay, I guess.
Well, and to be clear, we are acting on, the board is acting specifically on the request in front of it.
Right, no more notice.
Okay.
Okay.
Now withdraw mine.
Okay, so then we would need a second one to Bob's.
Pardon?
We would need a second for Bob's.
I'll second.
Okay.
Please.
Carlisle.
Yes.
Kubish.
Yes.
Reynolds.
Yes.
Ross.
Yes.
Okay.
So now it's as if we had never seen it. Correct.
The identical request could not come back.
Yes. That's what I'm trying to say.
But an amended request could come back.
And that amendment would include some of the things that we were asking for, so we have the opportunity to do, if she's asking, it's not an unreasonable request, but we haven't gotten that far.
Possibly. It would depend on the request itself. If, for instance, maybe a survey wouldn't be required if she was able to find property owners and make those measurements or something to that effect.
Right.
But that the request in front of you tonight would not come back. I believe it's no less than a year.
Yes.
Okay. Less than or no less than?
No less than 1 year.
No less
so than. You could bring back the identical request a year from now.
Why? But at the tune of what? $250? So. Moving on is the zoning map correction.
And this is also harking back to the October meeting. The ZBA took a look at the new citywide zoning ordinance and map that was adopted in 2001. And we discussed that it appeared there was a zoning map boundary lines drawn incorrectly in the southeast of the city, specifically on two parcels as listed. Historically, the subject parcels had been zoned residentially until the 2001 zoning map was created. Following additional staff review of past and present zoning maps, the boundary lines are believed to have been drawn incorrectly, and the parcels in question currently included in the RC-IND zoning district. To that end, the Boyne City Zoning Ordinance provides a process for corrections to mapping errors in section 27.40. In the case of any question as to the location of the boundary line between districts, the board shall interpret the zoning map after receiving a recommendation from the Planning Commission. Again, at the October 21st Planning Commission meeting, they reviewed the potential mapping error and moved to recommend the matter to the Zoning Board of Appeals as to the correctness of the zoning district map adopted in 2001. Attached is the staff memo and associated minutes from the October 21st Planning Commission meeting. Memo details historic aspects of the apparent mapping error and provides context in the form of past and present zoning maps. Again, you can see that Scott McPherson, the planning director, put together the memo that's attached, which includes about a half dozen maps outlining the area in question, also including the old zoning of R1, former zoning of R1, the current zoning of the RC-IND, Regional Commercial Industrial, and the two parcels in question are also highlighted in blue on the third map. Force provides some topography as to how steep the area is that's in question, There is a recommendation provided as well. Any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer those. But again, taking a look at what is apparently a mapping error given the fact that these parcels have historically been zoned residential and utilized as residential, and that has not changed throughout the entirety of the history of these maps that we're looking at, which date back to the 80s. Actually, 70s, given the first zoning map on the first page.
Patrick, if we approve, has there been anything in the intervening years which inconveniences or exappropriates owners who might pass through these parcels? Is anyone harmed by this?
Not to my knowledge. The parcels have been utilized as residential and taxed as such, to my knowledge. So I don't believe that this would be providing any sort of harm to past or present owners. Really just a correction in the form of the boundary lines, and moving forward, nothing changes as far as the use layout, nothing to that effect. Strictly a map change on paper.
The topography of those parcels is, I mean, highly, highly, highly unlikely that it would ever be an industrial use. I mean, you have to go up a very high hill to get up there. The view from up there is gorgeous, but it's definitely not a use that would lend itself to industrial.
And that's a good point. Scott does also point out in the memo that the road could not be developed as a public road without significant reconstruction and cost, as several portions of the roads have grades exceeding 14%.
Yes.
And again, the digital elevation model does show that that disparity. Mm-hmm. So again, just as a bit of process, there is a recommendation provided. If the board is agreeable to such, certainly I'd be happy to try and answer questions as far as getting to this point, any of the past zoning maps and some of the research that I've done, if there are any.
Do we need a motion here to make the correction to the zoning map to make mm-hmm. it consistent with? Because it appears that there's no written documentation showing that these should have been changed, and they were erroneously done so. So I would make a motion to correct the zoning map to be consistent with past zoning maps in light of not having any documentation showing there was a change. Is that, mm-hmm. say it okay?
Mm-hmm. And could I suggest that the recommendations from the Planning Commission meeting also be referenced?
Well, there are amendments that we designated as a low-density residential.
That would be, yes, a recommendation as per.
Right.
That's their recommendation, right?
Yes.
So I don't see anything wrong with this.
It puts a little more, detail to it, I guess is what I would say.
Yeah.
I'll second Monica's motion. Any discussion? Roll call, please, Pat.
Ross?
Yes.
Carlisle?
Yes.
Kubish?
Yes.
Reynolds?
Yes.
Okay. Does any of the board members have any comments? Okay. The next regularly scheduled meeting is Tuesday, January 7th. Anything kicking around?
Nothing official at the moment, no. I haven't received any applications.
Okay. That being said, the Motion for adjournment?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Meeting's adjourned.
So be it.